And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, your day, your time, God, for your honor, for you to all work your goodwill for everybody, everywhere, ultimately for your glory and honor. So help us. Here we are. We've opened your word. So help us understand that which you know we're in your presence. You know exactly what you said and what you did back then. So here we are. And help us in every way. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, having said that, over in chapter 5, we share together Israel, as we did it. Chapter 5, Israel is ready, fully ready to go forward. Back a while ago, before they crossed the Jordan, they murmured, had murmuring debate, and were not with it. But now that they've crossed the Jordan, there is no more murmuring. There is no more discussion. No, they dropped all that. Let's go back to Egypt. You don't hear that anymore either. We don't want to go. We've got to go where God's taken us. So they've advanced in that sense. And remember, Joshua and Caleb are there. And if you went back and we took time to look in Numbers chapter 13 and that, then you might as well do it for the sake of doing it. Numbers chapter 13. And you will notice number 13. And picking up, please, remember they go in the land, they come out of the 40 days, they're up there scouting the land out. Let this go, the land of Palestine, and they come back and report to Moses and the people. And because of the giants and the walled cities and everything is there, it's something else. Wonderful, wonderful land of plenty, food and everything. But everything you'd have to overcome, all the opponents, the obstacles, the giants, we couldn't do it. And so therefore, but Joshua and Caleb, remember, this is almost 40 years back. So chapter 13, and you'll notice, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people and before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We're quite able to take on and do God's will, which is what that was. No matter what the obstacle, the opponent, the enemy, we're able to go and do God's will in God's way, in God's time. We're able to do so. Now, and chapter 14, remember they wanted to go back to Egypt again. And in chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb and Moses and all, Aaron, were all upset because they were not going to go. They made the statement repeatedly, make us a leader that we may go back to Egypt. I'll read it. Chapter 14, verse 3. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. The enemy would take us all. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Well, they have Moses, but they're putting Moses aside. So therefore you remember the plus side, Joshua and Caleb, they're right there. Now, I'll pick that up, chapter 14. in verse 9, or verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, that he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, with all everything the opponents way of walled cities and everything. There's no way. But for they are bread for us. The simple thing. We'll take them just like eating a loaf of bread, taking a sandwich. It's not easy. Awesome power. Yeah. But you know, when God's in it, it's just so easy when God's in it. So now, therefore, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, back over to Joshua chapter 5. So here we are now, 38 years later, 40 years later, and in the process, they are already, Joshua and Caleb are already there. The people have got there, so they're fully ready to go forward. The same enemies, same walled city, same giants, same everything, but it's different. What's different? Your attitude, how you look at it, it's different. We've learned 40 years in the wilderness. It doesn't pay to fool with God. We lost all our military, all 600,000 of them plus. We lost them in the desert, in the wilderness. Doesn't pay. Honor God. Honor God in a wonderful way. So here they are to do so. Now, so therefore, and when we came to chapter 5 and verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now here they are going, they're all ready to go, and Joshua is their leader, is the one God has chosen to be their leader. And so Joshua has to go and look, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take the enemy and possess the land. That's what we're supposed to do. So as the commander, he goes out to scout it out himself. And he looks at Jericho. Here's Jericho. Here they are in Gilgal. And they just go over there a bit. And there's Jericho, that double-walled city. Not just a wall, two walls. So, amen. And we're looking. Now, what are we supposed to do? Do we build battering rams? What do we do to scale the walls? What do we do? So, and therefore, now God comes along, as you'd expect, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with a sword was drawn. It was not in its sheath. It was out. So therefore, that means activity. You aren't peaceful. No, it means war. That's why the sword's out. And with a sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? That's what I want to know. Are you for us or against us? How am I supposed to understand you with your sword drawn? And therefore, verse 14, and the Lord said, nay, no. Big exclamation point. No. I'm not for you. I'm not for them. I'm not for them, either one of you. I'm not for you. So, and I'm not saying nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I'm the commander in chief, the prince, the ruler. I'm the commander in chief of the host of heaven, of all everything that the God the Creator created, legions of angels, everything, power, omnipotent power, There's nothing in my way. I have access as the Lord of hosts, my army. I control everything. There's nothing I do not control. So therefore, understand, in God said, I'm not for you or against you. I'm the captain of a great army. I'm captain of the Lord of hosts, of all of God's wonderful creation, created for his glory and for his honor. And therefore, it's not about you. It's not about them. It never was about you. It never was about them. So what's it all about? So in the process, looking, it's about God's wonderful saving grace. What are you doing, God? All history moves down the corridor of time. And what are you doing? You have what? One awesome plan. Genesis 3:15, the promise of the woman, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. God is going to have a wonderful Savior to save you from a wicked, evil Satan, the devil. He has a wonderful plan, and that's what he's working on. And he's working that plan out in a most wonderful way. I'm not for you or for them. I'm for what my God's plan is, to go to the cross and die, to save all of you, you and them, to save them all. That's what I'm doing. Now, so hang on to that, if you can, in God's wonderful grace. Therefore, over if you would please to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53. And you will note and remember Isaiah chapter 53 is the chapter, it's the whole chapter about Christ's crucifixion, the Messiah. So therefore looking together, looking at it, God has a wonderful plan, and the wonderful plan isn't anything along the way. The temple's involved, everything's in there, but that isn't what it's about. It's about him going to the cross and accomplishing the most awesome, wonderful thing, to save every boy and girl and man and woman and save them. That's why I'm going to the down. That's the main point. And it's awesome. And we've been looking, think of the morning and things we're doing. Half a thought in my little head. God is so awesomely serious about what he's done and what he's able to do. And the average Protestant system we live in never catches on. They go to church, they do whatever, but they never grab. God really means what he says. And he really died to make you truly a child of God, straightway, for real. He wants you to abide like the tree we shared. It's a wonderful thing. I want you to be so attached to me, so abiding, so resting in who I am, that I can be everything to you like the tree is to the branch. I'm going to be everything to you. God's dead serious about that. And you would never know it among God's people. You would never see it. No, we don't see it. So, God's not among for you. I'm not against you. I'm not for them. I'm not for you. So Isaiah 53, verse 6, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ is going to die for every single human being ever born from Adam all the way to the millennium. And so God has done that. That's the whole point. He's done that. And everyone's doing that which is right in your own eyes. And so here comes Joshua and the people. Are you going to be for us? Are you going to be on our side? I'm going to be on our side or their side. We have our plans. They have their plans. We have it. Are you for any of us? No. I'm not for the good guy. I'm not for the bad guy. I'm for saving whosoever I'm for. God's wonderful saving grace to save all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the bad guys and the good guys. They all need to be saved. They all need to be saved. Now, so that, and while you're in Isaiah, another part that will help us, chapter 55. And in chapter 55, you'll recall, God tells us, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And keeping in mind always, as we're looking and thinking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what I'm doing, you know, are you going to be for? We have our little thoughts in our head of what we want and wish in our little world as we understand it, as we go down the corridor of time. And the bad guys have what they have, the good guys, the bad guys. And we do that. But we have no thought, God, of your thoughts, of your ways. They're higher. They're out of reach. We don't even think of them. And so, God, you have to help Joshua. I'm not for you or against you. Therefore, sliding over, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, God takes care of the whole world with the weather and the food and everything else. And that's what God does in his management. Verse 11. So, as I do that to everybody, and as I'm conscious of everybody, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So my word, I'm going to outwork my word in my will, in my way, in my time. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm doing. So Joshua, pay attention. We're going to go forward. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and Moses, what did he tell? How did he introduce God to the people? Exodus chapter 3. And God tells them, God told Moses, you tell them, I am who I am. I am who I am. Just tell them that. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to do what I do. That's what I do. You tell them who I am, and they're going to have to learn it. That's what we're looking at in Israel at this point in the book of Joshua. So, as you do that, now here's Moses, and going back even back to Abraham and them, and here's Job, and Job. Job is going to help us with the same movement. Here's God, and here's Job being blessed. And you know from Job chapter 1, that Job is a blessed man. He's blessed physically, family-wise, money-wise, in every way. He has God's blessing all around him. Is that what it's about? No. No. And so therefore he's tested by the devil. God allows it. And when you come over after those years of being in very, very difficult condition physically. God took away his family except his wife. God took away his animals. God took away his servants. God left him in physical mess from top to bottom. And therefore, God, what did you do? And God took him. And Job was faithful to God. He's teachable. You need to have a teachable heart with God so you can learn. Job was teachable. God took away all that he was doing for Job. And Job had to find out. He hung in there all the way through the thick and thin of it. Job hung in there. And when you come to chapter, the end, 42, that you're going to what? Find what? Job said, I am poor myself in dust and ashes. And I had no idea of who you were, God, in your awesome plan. Wow. And then you know in the next verse, God said, after Job said that, God turned around and doubled everything for him. He doubled it. That's God said, double it. That's what he did. Yep. God did that. Now, so here, who are you for? Are you for us or against us? No, I'm not for you. I'm for God. I'm for God and his awesome, wonderful plan for your life. And that's the main thing, that God would be a glorious God and an awesome, wonderful Savior to save whosoever to the uttermost in a marvelous way, to bring them into a real and right relationship to himself. Now, having said that, in the light of that, go over, if you can, please, to the Gospel of John. And our Lord is the grand example for us. And in the Gospel of John and in chapter 4, our Lord is going to tell us. He's going to, inch by inch, the disciples are going to learn. It isn't about food. It isn't about comfort. It isn't about how the day goes or doesn't go. No. It's about God's wonderful plan being outworked. Therefore, chapter 4, as you would remember, chapter 4 and in verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath man brought him what to eat? In other words, they were concerned that he didn't get a hamburger at McDonald's. He didn't have lunch. And our Lord answered them, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. That's the plan. That's the wonderful plan to outwork it. Now, God, are you going to be the perfect example? I am. Chapter 5. And you know, chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can. Remember, they were concerned. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And they just going to stone him, kill him. They're always trying to kill him. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I do nothing of myself. I'm perfect man. Perfect man shows what God intended us humans, made in his image and likeness, to be. Remember, we said animals have instinct and humans don't have instinct. God made humans, not an animal like that. God made humans to house God would be their life. God would be their life. You don't need instinct, you need God. You don't have instinct besides. You need God. God made us for himself. No point. And our Lord shows it. I do nothing of myself. My wonderful existence is to show all people that God made humans to enjoy God's wonderful life and God's awesome person in a wonderful, wonderful way. That's what God made us for, to enjoy him. Now, so it isn't about this guy and about that guy. It isn't about me. And the Lord Jesus said that. Look at chapter verse 30. I can do of my own self. Nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I'm there to look to God, to honor God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what my job is. I represent God. So God, what's our will? It's to know me. And when you know God as your Savior and Lord, what's he going to do? What do we do? Calvary's cross. What do we do? Christ, when I look at the cross, I'm to understand straightway. Christ had no reason to go to the cross. He had no sin. He took your sin and mine to that cross. He took me. He's the substitute, a perfect Savior, to satisfy God in a perfect way. He brings me to the cross and crucifies me so that I reckon myself dead. The penalty's paid. I'm pardoned, forgiven. And now what? Now what? You took away everything. That's right. It isn't about you. Because Christ died and he rose again. And what then? When you find yourself on the cross, you'll find yourself in the grave, buried, and you'll find yourself in Christ. What do you mean? God, when you get saved, God gives you eternal life. It's his life he gives you. You're dead, and he gives you the gift of his own wonderful person to be your life. That's what he does. It isn't about your life. It's about his life that he gives to you when you get saved. It's an awesome thing. That's what he did. That's right. You reckon yourself dead indeed in sin and alive under God, Romans 6:11, under God, which is your only logical thing to do. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind. And so therefore, if you hang on to that, over if I can to Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, what do you know? In chapter 1, here's, I'm going to read verse 2, but you can put in verse 2, to the church, to the assembly in Corinth, Antioch, Jerusalem, Derbe, Lystra. You can put any city you want, Middletown. What are we going to do? I'll read it now. Unto the church of God, which is at here. To them that are sanctified and set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, sinners that have become saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's us. Now what? So we represent. God has given us Are you for us or against us? I'm not either. I'm for God. God said God's wonderful plan for your life, that he would be your life in a wonderful way. But you're in a world, left in a world. So Israel is to be a testimony to all the nations, and now we're to be a testimony as they're in unbelief. It's our turn. And therefore we read chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, unto them that perish the foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." God's wonderful, wonderful working and outworking in a wonderful, wonderful way. So God's doing that now. And therefore, consistent? Right. The Apostle Paul, who said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul, you got a whole new life. That's what he said in Galatians 2 and 20. I have a whole new life. I'm the same old Paul that was killing Christians and putting them in jail. But you know what? I met him on the Damascus Road, and he stuck that thing in my, like a prick, into my, and I was kicking against it, and I was fighting God. But just think of the animal, the ox. And here's the man with the pointed thing to get the ox moving. And the ox is going to fight. Well, the more the ox fights, the more the point goes in. And what do you learn then? It doesn't pay to fight, because that point just keeps coming at us and hurting us. So Paul said, I'm not fighting anymore. And therefore, Paul, you're going to go, right, chapter 2, and 1 Corinthians 2, and in verse 2, "For I determined..." And this is a city in Corinth, cosmopolitan city. "For I determined not to know anything among you." And boy, could he know, and did he know. Could he talk to anybody? Man, he knew his stuff. "For I determined not to know anything among you, save, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's all I want. That's all I'm going to tell you. You want to know? Give me some deep thought. You need to have life before you have a deep thought. You need to have sight before you can see. There's no sense in telling you about things till you have sight. You need to see. You need to have life. So you need to have that. Until you have that, you need to what? You need to be believing and receiving Christ as your Savior. That's the main point. Are you for me or against me? I want you to know I'm for God and his wonderful plan for your life. I want you to know me and come to know me as your Lord and Savior. That's what I want. And what are we going to do when we come to know you? You're going to be preaching the Lord's death. We who believe and have received, I believe in my heart that God rose, Romans 10, 9 and 10, resurrect and believe in thy heart that God rose, that Christ arose from the grave. In my heart, I believe in a living Christ who gave me his wonderful life. And I am crucified with Christ. So therefore, and now what? Now that I have his life, what's the one thing everyone needs wherever I go? They need to know him as their Lord and Savior. They don't need some deep thought. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, like in John 8 and 34. The Lord Jesus said, "You ought to be believing in who I am, or else you will die in your sins if you don't believe me. You'll die in your sins." I told you to believe. You're not going to die because of your sins, because Christ took them to the cross. You'll die because you reject me, the one who made it possible for you to go from death to life. Now, so having that little bit, and having that little bit in your head and heart, perhaps, that God would do such a wonderful thing for us, and therefore, if I can, years ago, many years before our time, during the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, you know, had to face all of these things. And so one of his generals, one of his friends, said to him, "Mr. Lincoln, are you for God? Are you in the place for God to be on God to be? Do you want God to be on your side?" And Abraham said this in return: "I am not concerned whether God is on my side or not, but I am concerned whether I am on God's side." It's not whether I want to know, am I on God's side? Joshua, what's your starting point? You're going to be on God's side. And that's why you're going to win. That's why you're going to go, because you're on God's side. What are we looking at? Not for you, I'm not for this, I'm not for that. No, we need to, God said, "I'm outworking my wonderful plan for your life. I want you to come with me down the corridor of time. I'm going to take you to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross and die on the cross to save whosoever would receive me as their Lord and Savior." So therefore, here we are looking to God's wonderful grace, and we're going to take the Lord's table. And that's what it's about, to do this in remembrance of me, preaching the Lord's death, not his resurrection, his death till he comes. That's our assignment. We who have received life point to why we have life. He died. We died. All the world needs to reckon that. That's what it's about. I'm not for you or for them. I'm for God's outworking for all and every human being ever born on the face of the earth. So, if we had that, we'll have a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word a little bit to understand and to honor you, God. Thank you very much. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your word and why we're here, to represent you, not us, nor anybody else. We're here for one purpose, to represent your wonderful plan, your wonderful will, to save whosoever's like us, to save us to the uttermost. And God, it's your grace and mercy that does so. And therefore, we're glad, God, to be counted by you, to be saved, and to belong to your wonderful family, your wonderful word, your wonderful will, and a wonderful outworking of it. That's what we're looking for. So deal with our heads and hearts, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.